Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I am the Watcher. I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question, what if?
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of TuneCast. This is our 243rd episode, and I am one of your hosts, TF Joe and Mike. Joining me is one of the BAM crew members, Allison Richards, from the Fortress of Bailey Tudes, Superman and Lois tapes. Hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I don't understand.
What if I never was born with what I have, boy, that's the week I'm leading. But anyway, we are welcoming you to TuneCast and the GeekCast Radio Network's Superheroes Saturdays. This is the last week. We will be giving you our spoiler-filled discussions on Marvel Studios' new animated series, What If, on Disney+.
The Lemurian Star. They were about to send up their last payload when pirates took the ship.
How many pirates?
20 or so charmers, led by this one, Batroc. Before French Special Forces showed him the door, he racked up 36 kill missions.
Sounds more like your type.
Fine. I've got the shield, you've got the sword.
More like knives, but cute wordplay.
Kill the engines and find the hostages. Gentlemen, watch our six.
Strike team, you heard the captain. Gear up.
So, any plans for Saturday night?
No, don't. Stop right there.
You know, Bernard in accounting was asking about you.
Nothing good has ever followed the phrase Bernard in accounting.
What if his name was Steve? Ouch! Just when we were becoming pals, Widow.
Oh boy, that finale.
I know, right?
Wow.
What if?
It had a lot in there.
So we know from the very beginning, almost like the second episode, that they ended up getting delayed due to COVID, and that's fine. It's not gonna hint, you know, they have to do the best that they can do, and they have to do what they need to do to make sure everyone's safe and everything else. But if they have to push an episode to the next season, that's not a big deal. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but man, this season, this finale, this, holy crap. Just holy crap, folks. It was crazy. Just crazy. It defies logic, and it's awesome that it defies the logic that it's. And I know everyone's like, oh, but the Watcher isn't like this, or it's not his character, or that's not this. Look here, folks. This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is not your traditional comics. And with the way they set it up, between episodes 8 and 9 are essentially, to me, they are a two-parter. What if Ultron won, and what if the Watcher broke his oath? And it runs into each other so nicely that the only way you could do the finale for this season is do something about the Watcher breaking his oath.
Yeah, and the Watcher only broke his oath because of the creation of the Ultron, who could see him and hear him and threatened the multiverse as you knew it.
Yep.
So many universes. So much chaos.
They need to be silenced.
You do not have to do this.
Oh, but it's my purpose.
Man, where to start with this? What was your favorite moment from this one?
Hey, Cap, I have an idea, but I'm gonna need distance and a clear target. Can you do that?
I've got the shield, you've got the sword.
More like an arrow with the mother of all viruses in the tip, but cute wordplay.
Well, of course one of them is where, Black Widow is up on the bike and takes the shot with the with the Zola arrow, and she's like, this is for you, Clint. Of course that, touched my heart.
This one's for you, Clint.
And I want to see more of the world that she is now put in, because if that's a world that lost their Widow, what is going on with their Hawkeye?
Mm-hmm.
No, honestly, I know this is really stupid, but I really love that there is an interdimensional Chinese food delivery service. Just knowing that exists.
Yeah, that was awesome. For me, it all comes down to Peggy and Natasha, really.
Oh yeah. I love the sisterhood there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing ever good comes from Grant from accounting or whatever they said, and Natasha's like, what if his name was Steve? Uh-huh.
No, Lord. You want to know why? It was Bernard from accounting.
Bernard from accounting, that's what it is.
And yeah. You want to know why I started laughing hysterically at that?
Sure.
That's the voice actor's character name in Westworld.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, his character in Westworld's name is Bernard. And so... Hmm. I just, like, I heard that, I had to pause it because I just was laughing too hard. But no, I mean, you know, this is the last episode with T'Challa, mm-hmm. You know, with Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa.
With Chad as T'Challa, yeah.
So, I was kind of sad that Zombie Hunter Spider-Man didn't come back.
They had all kinds of posters and video promos showing it was more of like, this is what has happened over the first season kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was kind of surprised that Zombie Hunter Spidey didn't show up.
Yeah, especially, you know, with that promo where it was, like, listing out their names.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like, you know, Hawkeye was going to be in it, and Spider-Man, and Iron Man, and I love when the Watcher came in with Iron Man and Gamora, and he was there for Gamora, and just, like, not you, Stark. You're just, mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, snubbed.
Mm-hmm.
These Infinity Stones. Look, I'm out of the weapons business, not my cake, but how do we put a suit of armor around the world? Around the galaxy? You can't tell me there's not another big bad lurking in the shadows, monster under the bed.
Tony!
Gamora, survivor of Sakaar and destroyer of Thanos.
And the one who's about to kick your moon-shaped ugly mug?
Not you, Stark. You, Gamora. Have been chosen.
You know, we actually get to do a bonus episode, folks, for this series, because I'm finding out this just now, of course. And October 27th of this year, the other series that Marvel, Disney Plus, whatever, has on there is Marvel Studios Assembled, where uh-huh. They go like the making of WandaVision or the making of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, making of Loki. Coming up, October 20th is the making of Black Widow. October 27th is the making of What If. So you know we're going to have to do an episode talking about that special.
Yeah.
But back to what if the Watcher broke his oath here? Just wow. I mean, go ahead.
So I'm thinking that whatever this episode was supposed to be with Gamora and Iron Man,
mm-hmm.
that is the episode that was not completed in time. That's what I'm thinking, and that's going to be our first episode in season two.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're really making it a prequel. It's just it wasn't ready in time.
Yeah, it wasn't ready in time. And they could not necessarily do it. I consider prequels and flashbacks to be two different things. A flashback is when, like, I'm saying this now and we go back a week or we go back 24 hours to when you and I were talking about postponing the recording until what we're doing now kind of thing. That, to me, is a flashback. A prequel would be if, you know, if I was, you know, 40, 31 years old, if it was 10 years ago and I was 31 years old and we were doing something completely different on a podcast, that's a prequel to me. Okay. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they do it as a flashback. Maybe they do it as a prequel. I don't know how they're going to do it. I know based on these 9 episodes, I trust in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I am not tied to, like, the Watcher has made it specifically clear that, yes, our universe, the actual overall MCU, the main events of what happened, like with what Stephen Strange, what Dr. Strange said in this one, in my universe, Captain America, or Steve Rogers, took the serum and became Captain America. You know, that's our universe. So I am perfectly fine with them taking other versions and other universes and other whatever and doing whatever with them.
Yeah.
I just hope to God. I didn't send you this article and I don't have it pulled up, but I saw my Google feed likes to show me a lot of clickbait sometimes.
Yeah.
And one of the articles, and I don't even remember what website it's from. I don't even care. I don't know which one it was. The headline was, Marvel's What If season finale shows you who the most useless Avenger is. And I'm like, you sons of bitches. And I click on it just because I'm curious as to see who they think is. And of course, they're saying that the What If series shows that Clint is the most useless Avenger. And I just looked at that article and I'm like, you dumb bleepity blah 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 blabby blobs.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, you know, since Avengers. So, but
people are going to be eating their words. Yep, people are going to be eating their words once that series comes out, you know, in November.
Well, not only that, but they seem to forget that Clint is, you know, the heart of the team, and it's shown in, you know, Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm. I actually rewatched that in preparation for this because I wanted to see how the version of Ultron that we have in our universe compares to this version. And I am so glad I don't have it in front of me, and I'll get it in a second, folks. Whomever voices Ultron in this, in What If, I'm mm-hmm. so glad it was not James Spader. I love the man to death. He's awesome. He was awesome as Ultron. But that Ultron and this Ultron, two completely different things.
I'm going to show you something beautiful. Everyone screaming for mercy. You want to protect the world, but you don't want it to change. You're all puppets. Tangled in strings. Strings.
Realization nearly broke the machine. With his mission complete, Ultron was now just a program without a purpose. The victor without a war, sentenced to spend all of eternity alone.
Who said that?
Basking in the boundless silence of his universe, Ultron ascended to a previously unattainable level of consciousness. He became aware of another. He became aware of the...
I see you. There are universes beyond my own.
I have seen everything that has ever happened, ever will happen, ever could happen, and yet, what the hell is this? If a hunger like that were to be unleashed upon the multiverse... Even I cannot imagine the horrors that might follow. No. 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 Even that machine is not as invincible as it might think. There is still hope for this universe.
Well, and it seems like for this Ultron, they tried to find somebody whose voice was almost like a blend of Paul Bettany and James Spader, because that's what it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Other moments in this that I really, really dug. I like seeing Gamora on her own, even though we don't see her that much, but I like seeing her be a part of a different team.
Mm-hmm.
I love the recruitment. I love the Watchers recruitment.
Whoa!
What? Are you scared?
Are you seeing that?
Captain Carter, the soldier lost in time. You have been chosen.
Because, you know, the fact that Quill saw him, like, what's that giant baby head in the sky?
Stay here. Leave this fight to us.
I got it. Yeah. Hang back with the giant baby man cape dude.
Star-Lord T'Challa, leader of the Ravagers and lost Prince of Wakanda, you have been chosen.
Or the fact that he couldn't get Thor's attention.
Yes.
We were about to go on a date. I was going to be flowers, and I was going to light candles, and I was going to shower and do my hair. Nobody messes with Vegas. How about you? And you?
Finally, Thor Odinson, Crown Prince of Asgard.
And you? And you?
You've been chosen.
How about you too?
Thor.
And you? And you?
Calm down. Thor Odinson, Crown Prince of Asgard. You've been chosen.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and I liked how, even though Thor was, you know, has been made out to be the frat boy, you know, idiot character. I like how he still was, he knew things. It wasn't like, you know, you got the joke of, you know, what's the plan again? You know, for the people who weren't paying attention, mm-hmm. not me kind of deal where you get that to see, you know, you get the comic relief there. Yeah. But then you have him being very upfront. I am a master of getting unwanted attention.
Yeah.
You know, very upfront with this power of his, you know, and that he doesn't give up. He is there. He has people's backs. And I think that while he has like a set of naivety to him, he's not a completely, you know, idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Because I think that was the one little thing that we lost with Thor by going into Ragnarok and then with Endgame. Is that we lost his intelligence. Because he was very intelligent in, you know, his movies and in Avengers and in Ultron.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Ross Marquand is the voice of Ultron.
Okay.
So that way, I remember that now. Yeah, I mean, Thor... I view this Thor as if Ragnarok didn't happen and he was just, like it says, he's party Thor. He's, you know, not supposed to be super intelligent, even though Thor, son, you know, Odin's son actually is. This one is just characterized in a way that...
Slow down a little bit. There's a few people in the room that don't understand. Not me, I get it, but for them, maybe repeat it.
It's more than what happened in Age of Ultron with our universe, where the whole scene where, go ahead, try to pick it up. Go ahead. And maybe it's just that you all are not worthy. You know, that kind of thing. Like, it's got to be magnets. Magnets, I tell you. Yeah, but I love the animation in this. I love the sound of this episode. I love the sound of the whole series, but the shards when things are breaking apart or when portals are opening up, the glass shattering. Oh, I love those sounds.
Mm-hmm. No, they've done a lot. They've done a lot with the small elements.
Yep. Yeah, they have. And what they've done with the small elements makes a big impact on the series as a whole, especially this final episode for now.
Yeah.
What did you have a favorite scene overall?
I actually really liked visually the scene between Peggy and Bartak fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think with it being animation and being that we could be much closer than you can when you're when you're filming a stunt fight, mm-hmm. I really felt that fight, even for, you know, animation, was beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, hats off to the animators for that and making it actually physically work and not being over, you know, over outrageous and being things that people still could actually have done.
Mm-hmm.
And still being pretty close to the original fight too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like that. I loved everything with Peggy and Natasha. I saw Killmonger a mile away.
I think we all did. I mean, come on, it's Killmonger.
Yeah, it's like the second that Thor put the robot head on the bar, I'm like, oh, fudge.
Yep.
So.
And what I... for me, it's not maybe the greatest moment of the episode, but for me at all, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and blame you, but I feel like because of things that we've talked about and other things, it's like, oh, I'm on a Clinton Natasha kick now, or I'm on a Kate and Clint kick now, because we're doing this upcoming thing that we'll talk about at the end, folks. But it's one of those things where my favorite moment outside of her and Peggy doing the whole sword shield wordplay thing.
Yeah.
Was when, can you get me some distance? And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? And then she had to say, there's only a few lines in my life. There's only a few things people have said in movies that will, this did not make me cry the first like four times I watch it, but just thinking about it now, because I'm going to mention something else. There are only a few words in fiction that will make me cry. And just, man, the emotion on this one's for you, Clint. And just her going through and just jabbing that virus arrow in his eye. Ultron's gone. Zola's in charge.
Yep. Yeah. But I... Oh, my God. Cat, stop. No, I mean, that's like, I mentioned that right off the gun, you know,
mm-hmm.
That, and, you know, in a way it does bring Natasha's story to a close too. She got some, it wasn't, you know, taking out Red in her ledger kind of deal. Mm-mm. But it was, yeah. She killed the person who killed her best friend.
Yep. She got that ending and then she got a whole new beginning, because the door is just kind of a metaphor, folks.
Yep.
I was not expecting that. And then when it just went wide, I was like,
I'm not walking through that door.
Well,
The door was more of a metaphor anyway.
Where are we?
On a world that lost their widow.
It's a mess. Thank you.
You and your replacement Avengers fought valiantly, but now I think it's time you told me all your secrets. I was told you were dead.
Same.
You're not my Natasha, but something tells me you have her spirit.
Holy crap, that's the helicarrier. Holy crap, look at all those superheroes.
Yep.
Holy crap,
well, honestly, all
in the
you
face.
Really actually saw, I had to pause it. The only superheroes that you see actually are Cap and Captain America and Captain Marvel. Mm. All the everything else is just soldiers fighting and Loki soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, I was like, oh, I wonder. Because the only thing that the Watcher says is that this universe, lost its widow. He says nothing about any of the other heroes besides, he doesn't even say anything about any of them. He just says about Widow.
Yeah.
So I assume they're there somewhere, I would hope.
And it makes me wonder, and this is my weird, weird wondering, because my brain is like that. I want to think that this is perhaps a world where Endgame happened and then Steve came back.
Yes.
Because that makes me think that this is a world where, they lost their widow, so that could be the jumping. Marvel's back on the world, so it has to be point past her being called back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? And I cannot wait. Whenever season 2 happens, I'm so excited for it.
Yep. Same.
There, we've talked about all of this stuff over the last 9 weeks or so, folks, and overall, there's nothing really that I disliked or that I could nitpick at. I mean, outside of my personal opinion about Party Thor, and I just can't stand him overall. I mean, he is who he is, and that's fine, but he's just not a, like, Thor, the adults are talking. Go play with your hammer somewhere else. Uh-huh. I don't know. It just doesn't, whatever. That's my personal problem, whatever thing. But overall, like, this series, man, they gave us a story. Like, everyone originally thought, because it's What If, and What If is generally different stories for each whatever. I'm glad it was the what if stories of what if this happened to this person, or what if this person didn't do this. And then it merged into one whole thing at the last two episodes. I think that's awesome. I think that's a great way to present a multiversal story.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there is a couple articles, one from Comic Book Resources and the other from comicbook.com, about, like we mentioned earlier, the Gamora prequel episode, and then the end credits scene. So spoilers, folks. I mean, we've been spoiling this whole thing. It says spoilers right in the title of the podcast episode post, so you should not be unspoiled at this point, but that I didn't even know. Didn't even realize there was an end credit scene. Didn't even think, it didn't even cross my mind. It was like, okay,
oh, yeah.
This is how it ends. That's great. On my second watch through, as I'm recording the audio for the podcast, I'm like, wait, what? There's an end credits. I got to back up like 15 seconds, 10 seconds. Okay. I got to start my recorder again. And, I'm like,
and now,
oh, wow.
Audience, if you did not realize that there was an end credit scene, pause the podcast here.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, God.
I'm too fast.
Don't tell me. He was your type?
Oh, Widow, I've never been so happy to see you.
Did you hit your head or something?
A few times, actually.
We'll shake it off, because you're going to want all your marbles for this one. I found what the pirates were after. Peggy, you might want to brace yourself.
I can promise you, Nat, this won't be the strangest thing that I've dealt with today.
Famous last words.
The Hydra Stomper?
Yeah. And there's someone inside.
They found the Hydra Stomper, and there's somebody inside. I wonder who that could be.
It is making me wonder.
I hope to God it's... Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
It is making me wonder if we are going to be getting a Steve Rogers who is the Winter Soldier.
That would be interesting.
But yeah.
That's my
kind of prediction, because it's leading us into, okay, we know there's going to be at least three things forthcoming. We're going to see how Peter Quill got to hanging out and going fighting with T'Challa, because mm-hmm. we see that. Oh, sorry, four. We're going to get this Gamora and Iron Man one.
Yep.
We're going to get, Lone Survivor Widow with her new Avengers team.
Yep.
And we're going to get, besties, Natasha and
Peggy
with the Hydra Stomper and whatever version of Steve is inside.
Yeah.
Plus, we have to come back at some point to Zombie Hunter Spider-Man.
Do you have a new character obsession?
Yeah. Well, I'm still trying to find the pop. They haven't gotten it yet at Poppin' Off Toys, so.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it was fun, folks. I didn't have good or bad expectations going into this. All as I knew is it's alternate versions of what we know from the main Marvel Cinematic Universe. I love the animation style. I love the lines, the colors, the fluidity of the movements of the characters. It just looks all so good and shiny.
Yeah, I've loved the animation style. I've loved the music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be looking for an art of What If coming up for Christmas, like they've done for most of the movies. Like they've done they've done this with like all the other movies, and they did it with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, where they do like basically a coffee book art tape book of coffee table art book of the concept drawings they've done for the for the things, and they're beautiful. When I worked at Books a Million, the one for Into the Spider-Verse sold out three times.
Oh wow!
So. And it was really hard to get that one. Like, nobody had it. It kept selling out everywhere. So I hope they do one for What If, because I would love to see all those, like, background drops alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the backdrops. That would be amazing to see in an art book.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Interested to see, like you said, see how Peter Quill gets into this whole thing, because it seems like this universe's Peter Quill or this version of Peter Quill is just, you know, a Domino's driver. And all as I can think of is the original Turtles movie, 122 and an eighth. Great. Where the heck is 122 and an eighth? You're standing on it, dude. Just slip it down here. This is a 10. The tab's 13. You're 2 minutes late, dude. Oh, come on. I couldn't find the place. Wise men say forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Yep, and that is probably why Domino's got rid of that.
Yep. Yes, probably is. Yeah. What else would you like to say about the Watcher breaking his oath?
Honestly, I'm not surprised that it was going to go there, because eventually they would have... Having that big of a talent as the Watcher, they were eventually going to have to make the Watcher a moving character. The bit, though, where they are kind of having Stephen Strange now being the Watcher over, you know, the T'Challa and Zola war going on with the stones.
Yeah, Killmonger and Zola, yeah.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, does the Watcher go back to being a Watcher now, or is he a protector? Oh my God, Cat, don't bite my phone.
All right, folks, so we haven't had a Captain Marvel appearance in this episode of the podcast, but apparently Goose is biting phones now.
Yeah. No, my cat is wanting attention. This is his snuggle time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You're such a cute boy, you are. But you are in mommy's business right now. Mommy's recording a podcast. I don't care is what he's saying as he rubs his chin on the phone. Go over there. Okay.
That Goose, folks, he's a strange little alien.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I like that Strange, like, I like that it's Strange Supreme, that it's the Strange that we knew. It isn't obviously the Strange that he defeated in his episode kind of thing. And I like, once again, we have that squid throughout the whole series now, because his arms do the squid thing, because he has that whole monster inside of him. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, their whole little Eldritch horror. But, I kind of like, you get the moment where it comes out and it's going to attack Ultron, and Peggy is just like, what? As it goes by. Yeah, like, I thought I killed that thing.
Yeah, really. Absolutely. What else do we want to say about this finale? What else do we need to discuss about it?
I think we kind of covered most of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So right before we were going to record this week, I noticed that somebody I follow on YouTube and Twitter and everything else, he does guitar covers of themes. Like, he's done all the Marvel themes. He's done Batman, done everything you can possibly think of almost.
Mm-hmm.
He did a guitar cover of the main theme to What If, and I heard this and I'm like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. And I tagged Laura Cartman, who is the composer to the What If score, at nstents1117 on Twitter is Niall Stenson is the guy's name. And I said, oh my God, this is awesome. And I tagged everybody, and Laura replied, I just love, love, love this. So maybe at some point we can get her on for an interview and talk about the music of the show of What If, because I just love the music. It's yeah. So good.
No, I'm down for this.
Yeah, absolutely. It is just so, so good. Folks, I think we're going to take a quick break, come back after the ads and all that other good stuff, and we're going to close out the show and maybe tease what's coming in the future for TuneCast, All Tunes All the Time. We will be back after this.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at DeCian.com. DeCian.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes planes can be so flighty.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Yay! Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's got to be good.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
The Powers of Grayskull series has covered every episode of all of the Masters of the Universe cartoons except for two. Join Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, evolve into the Masters of Grayskull, and finally reveal the revelation of Masters of the Universe. We'll also be finding out the origins of how guests got into or out of watching the Masters of the Universe cartoons, and so much more. You can find the podcast at GeekCastRadio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
He-Man! Always He-Man!
Hey, it's Wes from Poppin' Off Toys. Wanted to let you know about PoppinOffToys.com. We can be your number one source for Funko collectible figures to add to your ever-growing collection. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, we actually have a retail store that you can come by, 5916 Charlotte Pike. And for the rest of us, PoppinOffToys.com is always open, and you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. And the name is just simply Popping Off Toys. Thank you so much, and always keep it popping.
ToyCast is back. We are talking toys once more here on the GeekCast Radio Network's Toy and Action Figure Podcast. From breaking into the display case to our toy topic talk and the brand new Origins in Toy Collections, where we get guests to tell us their toy story of how they got into toy collecting. ToyCast is the only toy podcast you will ever need. Find us on GeekCastRadio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. Now go forth, transform and transcend your toy collecting today while listening to ToyCast.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana! Weep, Ninny-bong!
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content, till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks! Let's go out with a bang!
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover ToyCast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toy Box Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover ToyCast.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Before we close, do you have anything you'd like to promote, Allison?
Honestly, no, nothing today.
Let me guess, you're the only one here.
How do I contact Superman?
He's out at sea.
Never around when you need him.
Man, I guess somebody took the spool out of the tapes over there at Superman and Lois, didn't they?
Well, we're taking a break. It's been really crazy and hectic trying to figure out a time to get together. We are intending to do a Smallville episode for the anniversary, but it's also we've all had things that needed to be done. Sorry. My brain is slowly turning itself off and going into what do you call it? Slowly going into fall break mode.
Yes. All right, folks. Coming up on ToonCast episode 244, I wasn't sure what we were going to do for this, but since it'll be out at the end of October, once Allison and I both watched the behind the scenes of What If, that's what the episode's going to be about, us discussing the behind the scenes special from Marvel Assembled. Episode 245 is the ToonCast Origins with Toonster SCP-21. So that's our new ToonCast Origins episode. And then after that, I don't know what's going to happen, what we're going to end up doing. Allison is starting her own show here on the GeekCast Radio Network, so you want to be a Hawkeye. It will be a crossover between this... wow, I almost said the Superman and Lois tapes. Wow. It'll be a crossover between the Pullbag and Studio 2009. It's a 10-episode limited series, and it is going to be a blast, so be sure to check that out. All right, Toonsters, as always, we want to thank you for joining us here on ToonCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Please leave comments, folks, if you've listened to our episodes. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. I don't think we have any new ones. I just checked a couple days ago. Also, we are on Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at GCRN ToonCast and at ToonCast Beyonder for the show. I am at TFG on Mike. You can also follow at GeekCast Radio for the network. What is your Twitter?
It's Ali Sky Richards, AliSkyRichards.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also look for ToonCast All Tunes All the Time over there, as well as the Superman and Lois Tapes page. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the behind the scenes of Marvel Studios' What If with Marvel Assembled. For now, I am TFQ and Mike with
Allison Sky Richards.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, and oh yeah, unleash the tune in you.
That's it, isn't it? All creatures searching for a place to belong. To call home. As for me, I am the Watcher. The multiverse, every single world, every story is my home. And I will protect it to the end.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast. This is... That's the wrong intro. Crap. Hate when that happens. This is why you read the text, folks.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.